plucking plasters. Our lives are made of defining moments. Usually we don't realize their significance until hours, days, even years after the moment has occurred. But these are the times that define us. Only in hindsight, of course, can we see how they've marked us. The situation itself often is painful, awkward, embarrassing, confusing, anything but defining. Until later, when we look back at it with clear vision. One such moment happened when I was about 17. I had gone on a trip from Texas to Las Vegas with a youth group. As a teenager, I was excited to visit quote-unquote Sin City and see the place renowned for its large hotels, glamorous shows, and desert landscapes. I had heard it was so hot in Las Vegas that you could fry an egg on a car hood if you wanted to do so. I vividly remember the heat, especially as I walked out of the airport. I was convinced that the bottom of my shoes were melting as I watched the heat radiate from the pavement. I'm not sure if it was really that hot. It may have been my excited imagination, but my shoes seemed to look like they were marshmallows melting in a fire, gooey and sticky white rubber. Las Vegas itself lived up to what I thought it would be like. Lots of gaudy decor, loads of casinos, and buffets that could feed a planet. Not a place I really wanted to go back and visit, especially as I was too young to gamble or go to a lot of shows. We stayed with families, and I had my own room and bathroom, which felt fairly generous for a youth trip. We were there for a convention of sorts with lots of people, boring talks for a 17-year-old, and loads of book stalls. I had a crush on at least two, if not three, of the guys on the trip, and I wanted to look my best. 17 is a difficult year for a girl, or woman, or someone in between. Appearances carry more weight, and insecurity, something to hide. I had the added dimension of being involved in beauty pageants at the time, and though I swore to everyone that it was really about the inner beauty and intelligence, down to the core, it was really about how physically attractive you were. That was my goal, to be attractive, no matter the cost. It must have had something to do with the travel and different climate, maybe hormones. I'm not sure. But towards the beginning of the one-week trip, I developed what I called a blemish on the side of my nose. Actually, it was a little bit more central than that, and it was that really bothersome, throbbing kind. As the week progressed, my blemish did as well. It was red and painful. I decided to take the matter quite literally into my own hands. One of my most recent purchases for the pageant was a makeup you could actually put on your legs to hide scars. It was a thickly tinted cream that was guaranteed to look like your natural skin, especially on stretch marks and imperfections. And it seemed ideal for an unsightly nose. I wore the cream for about 2 days when I realized it was doing kind of the opposite. Not only did it keep melting in the fry an egg heat and annoyingly drip off the side of my nose, but it also caused my blemish to become infected. Of course, at night, I would try to scrub clean the pores of my unfortunate nose, but to no avail, the infection stayed and swelled up one of my nostrils to what seemed to be about twice the size. So, what did an insecure 17-year-old beauty pageant contestant do? I put a Band-Aid, or as they say in England, a plaster on it. I like the word plaster, as it is also defined as the material used for covering, decorating, and enhancing a wall, ceiling, or something that is otherwise unattractive. I'm not sure what looked worse. Thick, heavy makeup that would dribble off my acne, or a plaster on my nose to cover it up. Regardless, I looked stupid, but pretended everything was okay. On the inside, I was horrified, more at the blemish than what I had done to cover it up. Yet, because I tried to hide it, I attracted more attention. Maybe not directly, but the plaster drew a few stares, especially from the boys I had secret crushes on. I had little interaction with the family with whom I stayed, apart from eating Cheerios with them in the morning before I left each day. I vividly recall, however, the conversation with the wife that later I saw as very significant. It was bedtime, and I had gone to inspect my wound under the plaster and left the bathroom door open. The wife saw me, came in, and sweetly asked what was going on with my nose. Embarrassed, I told her it was an infected blemish. At that point, I gingerly took off the plaster and showed her my wound. "Dear, you should leave the Band-Aid off your nose so it can heal." "No, then everybody will see it." Coming closer to my face and holding my chin, she wisely replied, "Everyone knows it's there already. You really can't hide it. The Band-Aid's only making it worse." The next day, I got up the courage to not wear makeup, to not wear a plaster, and let my wound get some air so it could heal. Over the course of the next few days, it did heal. Several of the youths on the trip confessed that I had looked dumb with makeup and really dumb with the plaster on my nose. But that moment gave me courage in a way to let others see my blemishes and expose infections so I could let them heal. Hiding only made them worse in the long run, and everyone saw my blemishes anyway. Looking back, this moment defined me. Half the journey of healing is exposing the wounds, the infections, and all to others. Most know that there's something underneath the mask. It's been in those times that I was willing to expose my faults and weaknesses that I found myself experiencing real healing.